Are you a horse owner? Get exclusive discounts on brands like John Deere and Big Ass Fans with equine discounts. If you're a paying member of any equine association, you qualify. And as an added bonus, a percentage of every sale through equine discounts is returned to the equine industry. Go to equinediscounts.com to receive your discounts.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1598, brought to you today by U.S. Rider. When starting or restarting an adult or remedial horse, it can be hard to figure out just where to start. In today's episode, Mary Kitzmiller and I take a dive into that very topic.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Rider today.
So if you've got a horse that it's an adult horse, he's had a life, he's on career number two, career number three, or his first career because he spent a lot of time being ignored, what would be the very first thing? Like, for example, you're at a clinic and you're meeting this horse for the very first time. He's going to be pushy on the ground. What's the first skill that you're going to teach that horse and the rider that is accompanying him? What's the first groundwork skill?
In a clinic setting especially, the first things that I usually teach is to be able to throw the horse out of my space anytime I need to, and also to be able to keep that horse's attention. So especially in a clinic, a lot of these horses, maybe they haven't been hauled off the ranch in a long time, or they're away from their buddy for the first time. So they are really keyed up more than they would be at home, and they're screaming, and they're used to kind of running up to their owner for comfort, or they're just ignoring their owner entirely and running around circles. And so I can't teach that horse anything when his mind is like scrambled eggs like that. So, and we're in a dangerous situation because he's running over the top of me. So the first thing I teach that horse is get back. And I like to use a long lead rope for that. And I kind of wiggle that rope to get that horse back. And I might have to be big and scary and do jumping jacks in the case of some of these horses, like, hey, I'm here, pay attention, get away. The other part of that that's really important, because the horse might say, okay, I'll get away, I'm a runaway.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because you don't want them to, they don't, you don't want them to leave you
entirely. Yeah. Like,
you want them to leave you physically, but still stay focused on you mentally, because that's a fine balance. I've seen early on when natural horsemanship, I hate to use that word nowadays, but the natural horsemanship movement, when it first started, I was exposed to a lot of really badly done natural horsemanship, which, yes, it can backfire and make the horse way worse if you do it bad enough. So you need to have that balance of the horse understands that physically you need to give me some space, but mentally you need to be with me and pay attention to me, because I'm the one that's going to keep you safe and happy. So in our example here, if you met this horse and this human for the first time, you're going to work with the horse and help him understand that physically you need to stay 5 feet over there, but still focus with me. Are there some physical tells that your average person that's not particularly experienced can look for in a horse when they're trying to do this, to say, you've gone too far, you've pushed the horse too far away, and now he really does not want to be with you?
Yeah, so if I just really terrorize that horse, I've now pushed him over the edge. He was anxious, and now he's in fight or flight. And that horse is like over the threshold of being able to take in new information. So I never want to use so much pressure that he's just like, I just got to survive at this point. But yeah, the second part of that getting to back away is I want, very practically, I want you to keep two eyes on me at all times. So anytime they turn their head or look away, I'm just going to tip their nose toward me. And I'm going to have to remind them 100,000 times, because these horses, I can't just like wave a magic wand and say, be calm. It's just not going to happen right away. So I'm going to do something very practical. Like, I know you can't be calm. It's okay. But in order for us to survive this, you need to be not calm over there, and you need to keep your focus on me. And again, every few seconds, they're going to turn their nose away from you. They're going to be screaming at their friend, looking at something else to do. So I'm gonna tip their nose or even bump their nose and say, hey, look at me. And sometimes if the horse is just too distracted, I may even kind of do something like jumping in place while making a weird noise to where the horse is like, oh my gosh, what did you just do?
So that you are more interesting than whatever's outside.
Yeah. I'm like, you need to pay attention to me, because I could be doing stuff at any second. And the other important factor of this is when he does put his focus back on me, even if it's only going to be for a split second, I want to release. So I want to put some slack in that rope, and I'm going to act at least for a moment like he's going to stand still and be the most perfect horse in the land. I'm ready to go again if he decides to move his feet again. But in those few seconds where he looks at me and he's a safe distance away from me, I release that rope, and I want to show him this is where the comfort is. And he's not going to pick up on it right away. He's just going to keep doing what he wants to do. He's just looking for help is what he's doing. He thinks maybe if I run out of the arena, or I run over you, or I run to my friend, I'm going to get help. And I'm going to tell him that's not where it is. And so a lot of times I might spend 5-10 minutes just doing that, because that's all the horse can mentally handle of stay back there, focus on me, stay back there, focus on me. And again, it's about making that happen, correcting, but then releasing as soon as they're quiet. And what
so that, that release is key, isn't it? Because if you don't, yes, if you don't get the release correct, the horse is never going to make that connection that you felt that pressure, but look, it goes away. Look, it goes away. It goes away. And you repeat that consistently for a period of time, and the horse goes, oh, wait a minute. If I do this, the pressure goes away. It must be okay. Very interesting. Because we always focus on the pressure part.
Yes. And all I'm trying to do with all of the stuff we've talked about, this body control, this little exercise here, I'm trying to show the horse where home is. And Mustangs have taught me this more than anything else. 9 times out of 10, a horse is doing something I don't like. It's because they're looking for help. They want to know, where am I going to feel the most comfortable? So maybe I'll feel the most comfortable if I'm standing on your foot, or maybe I'll feel the most comfortable if I'm trying to get away from you and go back to the barn or run to my friends or run away from that scary thing over there. And by doing everything I do, I try to set the horse up and get something to happen and then release when they do the thing. And in the beginning, a lot of times those tasks involve put your focus on me. I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna get you out of this. And what you will see happen over time is, and I see it happen, you know, in clinics where the horse is just so fractious and frazzled, and I keep just putting him where I need him to be and releasing, putting him where I need him to be and releasing. And then he'll kind of look at me and go, oh, you know what you're doing. Okay. And you'll see them just take a big sigh and lick and chew, like, okay, this is where I'm going to be okay. And every part of my groundwork is built out of that. This is where home is. And you'll find that after a while, the horse craves that space of this is where it feels the best. So I do this on the ground and under saddle.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.